Earlier this month, California voters approved a big change to education in the state when they passed Proposition 58. The initiative overturned a prior voter-approved ban on bilingual education in California. Now the challenge local districts face is implementing the new law. Joining us now is Mackenzie Mays of the Fresno Bee, who's written about this in the paper. Mackenzie, welcome back.
Thank you.
So 58 is law now, Proposition 58, overturning that past ban on dual-track immersion programs. Tell us what this actually means in real life. Is it already implemented? Is it already law, or is there a waiting period?
Yeah, so bilingual classes already exist, you know, but what this means now is that schools are able to do some more outreach about it. Before, parents had to say, learn about it on their own and then sign a waiver and get that waiver through this process. And there was a lot of documentation and regulation. And now schools, especially in Fresno Unified, feel like sort of a weight has been lifted and these barriers have been broken down and they're ready to go.
So I understand there's a lot of research on this. What does that say, and how is it informing the way the districts are going about expanding these services now?
I just sat in on some bilingual classes, and any teacher who teaches bilingual courses basically says that bilingual kids are just better at everything. They grow up to be really intelligent. They think of more solutions to problems because they're living in two different worlds, essentially, and their brains just sort of become wired in a way that monolingual people are not.
So what is Fresno Unified, for example, doing on this front right now to change up to meet the new law?
Well, Fresno Unified was actually sort of ahead of the curve. They had invested millions earlier this year because we have a big number of Spanish-speaking children, but also Hmong-speaking children. So we're trying to beef it up there and just sort of preaching the gospel that is dual immersion classes, which are really interesting. You sort of just throw a kid in. And a lot of people think that these kids that want to be in these classes or the parents that want them in there come from Spanish-speaking homes. And the class I just visited, that's not true. None of the parents spoke anything but English. They just see the value in it and sign their kids up. So I think the school districts around here are just excited to be able to not sort of be held back anymore.
What is the scale of this for a district like Fresno Unified that has a lot of immigrants, a lot of individuals who are potentially bilingual? I understand it's around 16,000 students.
Yeah, about a quarter of students in Fresno Unified are English learners. And Fresno Unified's one of the largest districts in California. So it's a huge chunk of people that are affected. But even that, you know, you can have non-English learners who want to sign up to hopefully become bilingual. Because when you start at that young age, they're putting kids in Spanish-only classrooms at 3 and 4 years old. So it just naturally happens for them. If I were to try to learn Spanish now, it would be much harder for me as an adult than for them. And, you know, they ask to go to the bathroom and the teacher will never reply in English and say yes or what do you need. She replies in Spanish and sort of reaffirms that. And they don't scold you for speaking English because they want you to speak that too. But you just learn that, you know, here, this is what we say. And so it's really easy for them to grasp at least what Spanish speakers are saying, and then eventually learn how to speak on their own.
With the potential increase in demand for these types of courses, are districts looking at shifting resources, hiring more employees? I know you looked specifically at Fresno Unified here. Do you know anything else? Are they looking to hire more teachers that have these skills, or are they already there?
Yeah, so you have to be certified to teach bilingual classes, but what it seems like is happening around here, and I'm sure in other parts of the state, is that people have the certification, but they don't have jobs. So I think what we'll see is a lot of people sort of coming out of the woodwork and saying, oh, I have this, I'd like to use it if there's a chance for me to use it. And also, Fresno State's excited because they're hoping that a lot of their teachers and education majors will go ahead and get that certification to use it, because why not, right?
You mentioned that Fresno Unified is ahead of the curve. Are other districts trying to get up to speed on this?
I think it was sort of a political thing, you know. You couldn't do it really without any sort of demand, and then how do you have demand if nobody knows about it? It was an awareness issue, so I think it's hard to know what parts of the state wanted it and what we'll see now. But I think definitely that it's sort of out there in the open and the research is pretty clear and seems like it can't be debated any longer. I think they'll pop up everywhere.
As we look at the aftermath of the election, both the Proposition 58, there's also two new school board members who are going to be seated soon. That could mean changes in the future. The board recently voted to approve a positive evaluation for Superintendent Michael Hansen. That was an interesting vote, though, 4-2, and one board member was absent. Tell us about how that went down, and we'll get into the potential future there as well. But what exactly happened last week?
Yeah, so school board president Luis Chavez, it's actually, that was his last meeting, was the evaluation vote. He was just elected to Fresno City Council, but he showed up late. So, and the evaluation is a vote that's maybe more people are looking at this year. It's an annual thing, but this year, you know, the school district's under federal investigation. Superintendent Hansen has gotten a lot of heat in the past year, so people want to know how his employees, which are the board members, would evaluate him. And Chavez showed up late, so he was marked absent. So it was a 4-2 vote, two negative, four positive. But I caught Chavez before I left, and he says, you know, I was just late. I didn't do it on purpose to show up late here.
Is that unusual for the board president to show up late to a meeting, especially one of significance like that?
I would say yes, but, you know, he might have some new duties. Maybe he's running all around town. He did say he was coming from a meeting. So, and he did tell me how he would have voted, and he said he would have voted no. So I'm not going to speculate, but he said he wasn't pulling anything quick on us and that he just showed up late, but that he would have been a no, which is interesting because, you know, then we're 4-3. And when you have almost half of a school board saying that they don't believe in their superintendent, you know, that's kind of alarming.
Yeah. And past evaluations had also been on a 5-2 vote. As I understand it, the two that voted against, Kara Mills and Brooke Ashen, have been consistent critics of the superintendent. What do we know about the two incoming board members, and have they tipped their hands at all in how they view the superintendent?
Yeah, so Elizabeth Jonathan Rosas and Claudia Cazares, I've asked them both. They're the new school board members. And of course, I had to ask them how they feel about the superintendent. And they both sort of said, you know, we're not against saying that he needs to move on, but also we're not going to be hired one day and then kick him out of the district the next. So in a nutshell, they both said, we'll give him a chance. But we're coming in knowing all of these things that we've read in the paper and heard about. And, you know, one of them said, we're going to remind him that he works for us and not the other way around. So there is a chance that there could be a new majority that by next year when they go to vote for his evaluation, it could be overwhelmingly negative instead of positive.
Now, there's also another allegation that's out there against one of the board members, Brooke Ashton, about his involvement with the district and his business interests there. He says this is a political retaliation by an outside group that presumably is more favorable to Superintendent Hansen. What's going on there? What's the status of that? Is there anything really happening there?
It's complicated. It might be hard to try to wrap up, but there is an ongoing investigation now into Brooke from the FPPC, and we'll see if, you know, there's anything that comes out of that. We don't know. They've just agreed to sort of take up complaints that have to do with his business. He owns a paving business, and whether he, is indirectly has a conflict of interest with some of the businesses that the school district also does business with, and whether or not his duty on the board is somehow wrongly overlapped with his work as a businessman in Fresno. But he definitely has been very vocal against the superintendent. And so as soon as an attorney kind of came up and wouldn't say who he was working for and made these allegations, Brooke was quick to say, you know, come on, I'm being punished for speaking out. So, you know, I've asked that attorney who's sort of going after him who he works for, and he won't say.
Very interesting. And you also had another article last week, speaking of Superintendent Hansen, his pay, $370,000 in total pay and benefits, an eye-popping number, perhaps. Can you put that in context?
Yeah, the average superintendent in California makes about $200,000. And it depends on what year you're looking at, but he's definitely one of the highest paid. But then again, he's in charge of the fourth largest school district in California. But it is, I think, a hard pill to swallow, especially for teachers who compare that to their compensation packages, and especially because of the past few years that we've had.
And again, that's something that is always controversial. Wouldn't the district also have to pay a lot for any other superintendent they would bring in?
Yes, but I don't know it would compare. Yeah,
Mackenzie Mays with the Fresno Bee joining us today to talk about issues regarding the Fresno Unified School District. We'll continue to follow those in the Bee and online as well. Mackenzie, thanks so much.
Thank you.